Sorry, I had to look that up. I just had to get it right. I wanted to make sure I was right. I had to be right all the time.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of my most endearing qualities.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Sorry, did I say endearing? I meant annoying.
Oh, then yeah. No. I'm sorry, did you say annoying? I think you meant atrocious and stupid, dumb, idiot.
One of my other annoying traits is how easy it is to make me cry.
Can we get started?
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
I'm also your host, Cassie, and I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but I have good news.
What?
Today we're watching Series 8, Episode 6, The Caretaker.
Oh, excellent.
Someone to take care of you, Cassie.
When I said that I was going to go to the doctors, this is what I meant.
Doctor's appointment. That's what we should have named the podcast, is Doctor's Appointment. Although that would definitely make it sound like it's a medical podcast.
Yeah. Or we're giving some kind of advice, and this is not an advice podcast.
Absolutely not. And I don't know that any advice we would have would be worth a lick.
No. No, this is an opinions podcast.
You know, and our opinions are correct.
Well, yeah, because you know how much people love hearing the opinions of two white guys.
Two dudes hanging out with their microphones.
Yeah. One of them has a beard and one of them is actually a woman.
They might kiss.
Maybe. Who's to say?
You won't see it. It's a podcast. Yeah. Today we're watching The Caretaker. Do you have any thoughts as to who The Caretaker might be, Cassie?
No. No. And I keep getting so distracted because we have to watch this particular series on DVD. The menu screen is the intro to the show, but just on loop, which our cat has decided is the most riveting thing. It's cat TV. I don't know what she is seeing exactly. I don't know how much she's liking it, but she keeps plopping herself in different spots in the room just to turn around and keep watching it.
Like to fully stare, just to like, like you would think the TV is going.
She's like a kid in a restaurant with a fish tank.
Or a cat with a fish tank.
Well, no, you know exactly the kids I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or like me at Rainforest Cafe, I would... Like my head was on a swivel looking for the leopard. And the second I found the leopard, that was it. Couldn't give two flying fucks about the elephants or the gorillas. Leopard was all about. Do you know what part of the restaurant I have never been sat in?
What's that?
The zone with the fucking leopard.
They don't trust you. They don't. Then you'll take it.
They do know.
They just get the vibe like she's going to take the leopard if we put her there.
Like, put her by the giant butterfly. That'll appease her.
Ma'am, you're wearing a trench coat that's oddly leopard shaped. Oh, yeah, it's a health condition. It's a growth.
It's a growth. It's jaguaritis.
Leoparditis.
Some might call it leprosy.
Leopard-sea.
Anyways.
Leopard-sea, leopard-do.
That was a really stupid addition. I loved it. I'm not going to laugh.
Sometimes jokes I tell are just for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes jokes I tell are just for me. And sometimes they're for no one.
Yep. So who is the caretaker?
The caretaker is actually the doctor. We are getting sort of a rehash. This is the last episode written by noted transphobe Gareth Roberts. He sucks. I don't have to give a shit about his opinions. But...
I mean, you went out of your way to figure out and say his name correctly. So.
Look, he doesn't respect pronouns, so I have to prove that I'm better than him by getting his proper nouns right.
Fair.
I believe this was the episode where he sort of had a falling out with writing Doctor Who. And I believe it was sort of both sides of it. I believe he had had an issue with the fact that Stephen Moffat so heavily edited this script, or at least made some pretty notable rewrites. He, I guess, thought that he was special enough that he didn't need to have rewrites. Some writers didn't get rewrites. Some writers were just good enough, and he thought he should be in that team. And Moffat apparently disagreed. But on top of that, also his bigoted views also made it very difficult for him to continue working on the show. So this is the last script he ever wrote. It is edited by Moffat, and it does have a very strong feel of the Sarah Jane K-9 episode from the 10th Doctor's run.
Okay.
Because the Doctor comes in to the school posing to be the caretaker, as opposed to being a substitute teacher that he was in that one.
Well, all right.
So it's very much doing that shtick again.
So it's like a sequel?
It's not really, I guess, more of like a spiritual sequel. It's more like, it's not like they're, it's not even the same school, but it's sort of this, he's done this before. He goes places, pretends to be John Smith. This is just, he's doing it in a school again. This time it's Clara's school, the school where Clara and Danny both teach.
Yeah.
So he gets kind of put in the middle of their relationship.
Okay.
Like a lot of this episode centers around Clara being pulled in the direction of her two boys, the space boy and the soldier boy. But we will see how that pans out after we get to the Cassie Profassi.
Well, okie dokie.
In addition to the reason the Doctor has to go to be a caretaker at this school is that they're, the school is under threat from an enemy alien robot. One of these names is the real name of that enemy alien robot.
Uh-oh.
The other two I have made up.
Uh-oh.
Which of these is real?
All right.
Is it A, Tricor Plusl?
Uh-huh.
B, Ultram Vigoroth?
Uh-huh.
Or C, Scovox Blitzer?
Oh, they're not funny at all.
Is it funnier if I tell you the two fake ones are a drug combined with a Pokemon?
You asshole, those are the two things I don't know anything about. You cocky whore.
I had so much fun sitting here, like trying to figure out what's the best combination I could make that sounds just dumb enough to be a Doctor Who alien.
Can I hear them again now, having that knowledge?
Yes. Tricor Plusl.
Okay.
Ultram Vigoroth.
Okay.
Scovox Blitzer.
Okay. May I ask, is the order drug name Pokemon in both instances?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say that A then is the real name.
So Tricor Plusl is the real creature?
Yeah, because Tricor doesn't sound like the name of a drug.
Okay. All right. Very well then. All right. Cassie's prediction for this episode is that there's an enemy alien robot named Tricor Plusl.
I don't know, but Plusl does sound like the name of a Pokemon. can I hear the...
Sure. Tricor Plusl.
Okay.
Ultram Vigoroth.
Ultram absolutely is a drug.
All right. Scovox Blitzer.
Scovox, though. Okay, so it's either A or C.
Okay.
What was the back half of C?
Blitzer.
Okay, that's absolutely Pokemon, though. But it also could be one of Santa's reindeers.
So the real question is, which of these is a drug, Tricor or Scovox? And which of these is a Pokemon, Plusl or Blitzer?
Well, when you break it down that way, I'm going to go with A, because even when you read it, I went, oh, that's really stupid name.
So Tricor Plusl, we're sticking with that?
I think so.
All right. Tricor Plusl it is. And the second part of the Profassi today is, in this episode, the Doctor reveals that he lived with a critter for a month, lived with a group of critters for a month.
Uh-oh.
Was the group of critters he lived with A, otters?
Oh, no.
B, beavers.
Oh, jeez.
Or C, platypi.
God damn it, platypi.
You think it's platypi?
Ooh, because you put otters in there because you know my feelings about otters.
Mm-hmm. Or did I put this question in because of your feelings about otters?
Oh, you cheeky fuck. So it's A, otter, B, beaver, or C, platypi.
Mm-hmm. Platypuses. Platypides.
Platypussies.
Platypodes. A platypus?
I can't.
Dr. Platypus?
I can't do the Perry sound, and I'm forever angry that I can't. I know.
I can just do it too deep. Like, I think if you sped that up, it would sound right. Cold open is just us trying different Perry the Platypus sounds.
Well, now I can't remember what it sounded like.
I'm trying to do a frog.
Yeah.
Did the doctor live with otters, beavers, or platypus?
Okay, I don't think it's otters because I like otters. You put that answer in there for me.
Doctor Who doesn't know anything that you like.
Beavers I can understand from an engineering perspective. Uh-huh. That he would want to live with beavers to like understand them better.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, though, I could see the doctor living with platypi because they are some of the strangest animals in the world, on the earth.
Does it?
Because they are mammals, but they lay eggs. They glow under black light.
Would it change your answer at all if I told you that part of this story is the doctor claiming that he lived with them for a month without being noticed?
God damn it. Well, great. Now, what is this doctor more like? An otter, a beaver, or a platypus? Unnoticed?
That's what he claims. Although I don't know who any of these creatures would go reporting to.
And it wasn't like a Hopper's thing where he like put his spirit into an animal robot.
The doctor quantum leaped into a beaver. It's specifically one of the angry beavers.
May I ask for why?
It is because apparently he had a fight with River and needed to leave for a while.
Oh, man.
I will say this is kind of a throwaway bit in the episode, but it was so funny I couldn't ignore it.
I right now am upset because I don't remember if platypi are colony animals. I know mm-hmm. beavers and otters are. They usually like stick together in their clans. But I don't remember if people are.
Platypodes.
Yeah, platypoo. May I look it up really quick?
If they're pack or like a calling animal? Sure,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Because that will change the trajectory of this answer. And I know this is a throwaway bit, but God damn it, do I need a win? See, I found a whole article called Unraveling the Social Life of the Platypus. Is a resounding no. They do not live in colonies.
All right, then.
They are independent animals. So I'm going to say beaver.
You're going to say beavers?
Because it does circle back around to
Dr. Beaver.
Wouldn't that be swell if it is otter?
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think that beavers generally are way more.
He spends a month exercising his doctorate in engineering. Building the world's best dam.
Like just I can envision this doctor specifically following a beaver around and being like, oh, yeah, let's eat this tree together.
Delicious, nutritious tree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will find out together.
It's beaver. If it's otter, I'm going to be so angry.
We will find out together.
You don't understand. If it ends up being otter, I am walking out of this room.
Do you want to change your guess then so you don't have to walk out of the room?
No, because I think it's beaver. But if it ends up being otter, and I was like, you know what, I'm putting all of my eggs. I was going to put all my eggs in the platypus basket. Could you imagine if it turns out being platypus and I was absolutely wrong?
Yeah.
All the way around?
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you about my family's lore with beavers?
I don't think so, no.
So for whatever reason, and I don't know where it started. I don't know if it even really ended. But my family on my mom's side decided that beavers were going to be the like family mascot.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma had a little stuffed beaver in her car. My dad had a stuffed beaver in his car. When we went on a family trip to Hawaii, my uncle made us t-shirts with beavers on them.
Are you sure they didn't just visit Bucky's a lot?
No, because Bucky's wasn't around in the early 2000s that we were aware of. But that's why when Bucky's came out, or like when we stopped by Bucky's, we were like, oh, everybody has to get it. Everybody's
got to get a beaver.
Everybody has to get Bucky's merch.
So what you're saying is you're trying to. You're trying to make the doctor remember your family.
Well, there's a part of me that's like, damn, I feel like because like there was no way you could have known. but equally as so if it is Beaver and I pick Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I was guided. I was guided here by weird, twisted family lore.
Your family's weird obsession with beavers has all led up to this moment.
Yeah.
Really anticlimactic question in our podcast.
Yeah. My grandma's up in heaven right now going, what the hell is going on?
All right, well, we'll find out together if the name of the enemy alien robot is Tricor Plusel, and if the Doctor spent a month with beavers as we watch Series 8, Episode 6, The Caretaker.
Hi, MarsCon. It's like an AA meeting. I love it. All right, here we go.
The world's longest running comedy music concert series is back.
That's one. We have 45 more songs.
MarsCon 2026 is taking place March 6th through 8th at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Mall of America Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Move the things. Give ample prancing space.
Is the name of my Worm Quartet. I don't need a name for a Worm Quartet tribute band.
Well, who did what now?
This year's event will have performances by The Great Luke Ski, Carrie Dalby, Dino Mike, Devo Spice.
Devo Spice is back at MarsCon.
Ross Child. That Lucky Panda. Beth Kinderman. Meow Meme. Holy Bong Water.
We're going to play the cleanest Holy Bong Water show you've ever seen. So we're only going to talk about a few sexual kinks and the end of the world.
And this year's comedy music guest of honor, Insane Ian.
Order up all the food you enjoy. With long soak or a couple of hot joy. Bringing it to you if you're in Illinois. It's my job.
I'm a delivery boy.
Yes, it's a Mumford & Sons song about eating people. Why not?
A weekend badge is $70 at the door. For more info on MarsCon, visit marscon.org.
I'm learning things. I don't know what, but I'm learning things.
Also, if you go see Luke Ski's show at MarsCon, he is premiering a video that I'm currently making for him at MarsCon. So, hey, go check that out if you can. It feels weird putting an actual ad here for something, but I'm not getting paid for it. I'm just doing my friends a favor because I think this is cool. Anyway, back to the episode. And we are back from The Caretaker.
Deep cover.
Do you enjoy Doctor Who as a sitcom, Cassie?
This episode made me think a lot, which I really appreciate.
Really?
Post time heist. Because when it started, I went, oh, this was the intro I wanted for Time Heist. Clara specifically having to explain away her physical differences after having been with the Doctor for presumably several days.
Yeah, the way she, like, they get chained up on a big rock in the middle of the desert, so she's a little tanner. Or she goes to visit fish people, and so she's got seaweed stuck to her shoulder. I do like that dynamic. I like this. I kind of wish we had seen it a little bit with, like, Amy and Rory. The you know, I'm running off to be with the Doctor, but then I have to come back and also manage life with you.
I think that this is... That sequence is them remedying the fact that we didn't see it with Amy Rory.
Yeah, because Amy and Rory both became the companions. In this case, Danny very much does not want to be the Doctor's companion. In fact, he does not seem to like the Doctor at all.
Well, because it's not even a matter of, like, oh, they're both companions. But it's reminding you, the viewer, that these companions have lives outside of the Doctor.
Yeah.
They are not devoting 100% of their time to the Doctor. And at this point, he doesn't want them to be doing that.
Yeah, because so Amy and Rory lived in the TARDIS, like, they had their own room. It seems like Clara does, but she has chosen to abdicate it in favor of being a teacher. Like, she wants, she is a career, she's a boss lady who can have it all.
She basically is, she's a lady in the 80s. Like, she's, the only thing she's missing at this point is a family, but, you know,
she's working on it with Danny. She's trying to.
Yeah.
she's got a man, a career, and a hobby, and the hobby is the Doctor. So what do you think of the episode overall?
I quite liked it.
Yeah, I think this is okay.
This is a refreshing episode post Time Heist.
I feel the same way about this that I do about Robot of Sherwood. They're both, like, they're not the best episodes, but they're good for what they are.
They're not the best, but I do like that in this episode we got to see different sides of these characters. It felt like there was progression,
mm-hmm.
whereas in most episodes there is stagnation that we're watching because, and somebody had to remind me, like, at the end of the day, Doctor Who is a Monster of the Week program.
Yeah.
So we aren't going to see a lot of progress. We're not going to see a lot of, like, evolution of any particular character because this is not something that is meant to be binged on Netflix. This is something that is coming out and being watched once a week with your family and friends and whatever. And so it's really wonderful when you get to see something that does have a little bit more dimension than just than just shenanigans.
Like, there's definitely a shift in the tone. Not the tone, but I guess the dynamic. This fit, like, there's definitely gonna have to be something that changes now. Just because the Doctor and Danny know about each other and they don't like each other.
Yeah, I wrote down one of my notes was, ooh, Prickly.
I do think they might go a little far with it.
I love it.
What I mean by that is the Doctor feels, Doctor dislikes soldiers so much. He, there was criticism when this episode came out that people thought the Doctor was being racist against Danny, saying he's a PE teacher because he's black. Like, he just could, like, that was a, I think it's extremely clear he thinks that that's because he's a soldier. But I could definitely see some, if somebody has like a sensitive spot for it, or if it's just like a, hey, you probably could have thought that through a little bit better, that the one black guy the Doctor's interacting with, he keeps being like, you're the sports guy, you do sports stuff.
It felt like the Doctor was being incredibly ignorant, but then to a point of like, oh, he's feigning ignorance on purpose.
Yeah, he's put Danny into a box and he has chosen not to let Danny out of that box. Like, he is like, you are I am taping the box shut. And so I am willfully not taking in the fact that you are a math teacher because I don't think highly
because
of you.
I think that you're a dumb soldier.
Yeah, I think you are a grunt,
a simple minded grunt. Yeah. Therefore, the only thing that you are capable of teaching is physical education, not maths like me, a smart man would.
Yeah, and I do think that some of that is the Doctor still having a decent amount of self-hatred for who he was during the Time War.
Yeah.
Because he was a soldier. He was not, like, there's a part of it where he's like, where Danny's poking fun of his, like, general, like, not general, meaning overall general, like, soldier demeanor, the way he likes to sort of give orders and be in charge. And, you know, there's a very, like, breaking down of almost the David Tennant qualities that he has, which is like the I will monologue at you and be self-important. And this is Danny being like, hey, I've been around people like that and you all suck. He even says, like, I'm the guy who will pull you out of the fire. He's the guy that starts it, which I don't think is true. But I do think I understand how Danny could see that. Especially not seeing the Doctor outside of this one moment.
Yeah, Danny's first impression of the Doctor is not by any means good, nor does it get better.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of it, they still don't seem to like each other. They seem like they have a mutual respect.
There is an amicability about it. But then when you, I mean, fast forward to the very end.
Yeah.
Danny's specifically telling Clara, like, the second he makes you do something that makes you uncomfortable, you tell me. I don't know if it was the specificity of Danny being a soldier. It struck me as very big brother, which, hey, I have a big brother that is also was a soldier and has said nearly the exact same thing to me.
I think they have done something very interesting that I don't think you see a lot of, at least not written this well, as they have written three very strong personalities. I mean, like, type A kind, like, all three of these people are bossy. But they're bossy in different ways.
There, I wrote that down. Wait, hold on. I used a big word.
A big word.
Shush.
I pulled out my thesaurus.
Insolent and stubborn.
Yeah, they are all very strong-headed people, and not in the same way, which is all really interesting.
Yeah, pig-headed. Oink oink.
Oink, 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 indeed.
But what I mean by that, too, is just they are all giving older sibling.
Yeah.
Equality, I know nothing about.
Because the doctor is bossy and like the I'm the smartest one here and I know what I need
to do. I've been around the longest, therefore you need to listen to me.
Yeah, I'm here to say.
I know what I'm talking about and you don't because I'm 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I'm here to solve the problem. And then Clara is like, I'm here to keep the peace. Like my whole thing is like, I want everyone to get along. And the best way I know how to do that in some cases is lie.
Clara's job is also like, I understand, like, you are going to take care of this. I'm going to make sure that you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And that you don't die trying to help us. And then Danny's whole thing is, I'm going to make sure that both of you don't fucking kill yourselves.
Yeah, I want everyone to be as, like, my job is to keep people safe.
Like, I will evacuate this school and call the British Army to come and take care of things.
Like that, that is his instinct. His instinct is to save people. Clara's instinct is to like be the peacekeeper in a way. She's like trying to make sure everyone is like getting along and everything is.
I think she's a INFP.
And then
just very mediator.
And the doctor is like, I'm the smartest one here and I will solve this problem. And those are three very strong dynamics
and then
that
don't
get along.
Because it's also the doctor saying, I'm here. I will solve this problem. I don't know why you are still here trying to solve this problem. I've already said I'm going to solve it. And you are simply now getting in my way and preventing me from solving the problem.
Because I think really what it is fundamentally these three characters see a different problem. The doctor sees an alien that needs to be taken out. Clara sees an issue where these two people are going to accidentally cause like mayhem if they can't come to agreement. Mm-hmm. And Danny sees a bunch of people in an unsafe situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really, like, all of those things are true.
I was literally just listening to a podcast about almost the same exact thing where it's a story that has a like trickster god that's wearing a hat that is black on one side and red on the other. And these two friends get in an argument over what color the hat is because they didn't see both sides of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
One saw the front, one saw the back. And then they are arguing on the brink of ending their friendship because neither can agree on what color the hat was. The little like god pops back up and is like, you fools, it's the same thing. And you guys are both almost going to end your friendship because neither of you can agree on truths that you both know are like truths that you both know to be real.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of you are bothering to look at it from the other person's perspective.
Yeah.
And this is very much that. It's each one of these issues that Danny, Clara, and the doctor are fixating on are all factual.
Yeah.
But neither of them are taking any amount of time to look at it from the other person's perspective and say like, ah, yes, I see why you're also concerned about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all work together then to make sure that everything that we want to have happen happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's the you're wrong, I'm right, fuck you.
I also appreciate that they let Danny be smart.
Yes.
In a way that.
Well, he's a maths teacher.
He is a maths teacher. But what I mean by that is there's that part where he Clara's trying to show him how she acts around the doctor and wants it to be that she wants to show that she's the same.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I'm the same with you as I am with him, which almost there's probably it's like, I almost wonder if that would be worse for him.
Yeah.
And he's finding out that Clara is the same and there's not like she lies to me, but she doesn't lie to him. I would feel worse. Like I was almost a part of it. It's like, I kind of wish you do act a little different around him, but that's beside the point. But you know, he's got the stolen invisibility watch.
Yeah,
on.
His Spy Kids watch.
Yeah, and so he walks into the TARDIS and is like supposed to be watching, and the doctor starts like, why don't we take a journey? Why don't we go somewhere, take a big adventure? We could go on and check out whatever. And then Clara's like, why are you like? What if we just stayed here? And the doctor's like, oh, you don't normally say no to me. This is weird for you. Do you think that's weird? That's really weird. And then Danny finally gets the hint and turns the thing off. He's like. He's trying to be clever because he could tell I'm here. And I appreciate his ability to read that off the doctor, off a person he has met for literally like 15 minutes.
Under the premise that he was, in fact, the new caretaker and not a man from outer space.
Yeah, I appreciate that Danny's got this.
What would that be, like insight check?
Yeah.
He just rolled very well.
That would definitely be an insight check, yes. Yeah, that he just immediately clocked the doctor. acting a fool deliberately. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can tell that he is smart enough to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that maybe the doctor's distaste for him gets a little cartoony.
Yes, but I also do appreciate the fact that the doctor is way more interested in Clara dating the teacher that is wearing a bow tie.
It has a bow tie and big floppy hair and a big chin, and says it reminds him of a certain dashing time traveler.
Yeah. Like, you fucking nerd. Because at least in that moment, there is the confirmation then that, like, this doctor and Clara have indeed a very different dynamic,
mm-hmm.
which is now confirmed with the doctor specifically, like, playing matchmaker with Clara.
Yeah.
Like, I had written at some point that he does have a more paternal quality, specifically recognizing, like, oh, Mr. Pink is somebody that Clara might be interested in. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Or how about I try to pair her up with this other guy? Psh, can't imagine why I like him better. I mean, it does have the same feeling as, like, when you look at somebody who, like, went through a breakup, but then you look at their new partner and you're like, oh,
that's just the same girl again.
Their new partner looks literally identical.
I mean, you got to type. I do like that. I do think. There's a part in it where the doctor says, the doctor's asking her, like, why do you like the soldier? Why not like Adrian? He seemed like a nice guy. Clara says that he's not her type. And I do wonder for just a moment if the doctor was mad about that particular line, where he's like, what do you mean he's not your type? He's totally your type. You should go out and date him. He seems like a cool dude. He's got good fashion sense and gray hair. I think you should date him. I think it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a part of him is just throwing a little tantrum about that.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised at how funny this episode is.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't think of Gareth's other episodes as being particularly funny. So I wonder if those were what Moffat punched up, as he was like, this has to be funnier.
Well, because there's also a number of situations that the doctor finds himself in that I forget how much I enjoyed until it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Like the doctor trying to have a conversation with a teenage girl. Is Courtney Woods.
Yeah,
there is something about Dr. V teenager where I'm like, oh my God, this is going nowhere.
Much like all conversations with teenagers.
I've had some riveting conversation with some 11-year-olds, let me tell you. Things have changed since I was that young. And what's nice about being a person like me, who is relatively easygoing and a little bit chameleon-y, is I will be whatever you need me to be in the conversation, which means that talking to children means that I'm all ears. Whatever's going on in your little world, I'm here. I will listen and I will add insight if I need to. The doctor is not that.
I like that the doctor's only time he seems really endeared to her is when she introduces herself as a disruptive influence.
Yes.
That's where he's like, oh, nice. I like that. And then he seems like at least tempted to make Courtney like the companion in case of emergency.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, Clara and I are having a day right now. So if this doesn't work out, I'm going to call you, Courtney, because it seems like teachers don't like you. And I don't like a couple of teachers right now.
Never mind the fact that she's like maybe 16.
But 16 and apparently gets motion sickness from the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Because she, as the doctor says, there's been a spillage.
Speaking of TARDIS, every time we go back into the TARDIS, I notice something new about it that I like.
Okay.
Like the built-ins. Love that.
I do like that you I feel like Capaldi is a very slow burn kind of doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you liked him pretty quickly. But yeah. I feel like
I liked him pretty quickly because very early on before we got to Tennant, you had said that you thought that I would like Capaldi the most.
I feel pretty confident in that still. I mean, I feel like now in Shooty's going to be up there for you because I've seen him. But when we had started this, and Judy had only like just started,
He'd only just begun.
I still feel pretty confident that Capaldi's going to be up there for you.
Yeah. I just like how stubborn he is.
He's very stubborn. He's very big in a way that the other, like, even when the other doctors were big, it wasn't, it was like a big, it was like a theatrical big. Capaldi is like an explosion kind of big, where it's like, it's all eyes.
Like this
it's
doctor,
all eyes and teeth.
This doctor is an asshole, but an asshole in the way that I'm like, ah, yes, I'm immediately endeared to you because you are kind of a dick, but like in a way where things still get done.
Like you're not a dick in a way that's like hurtful to people. You're a dick in a way that's dismissive to people.
Yes.
Like the fact that he thought even Clara couldn't tell who he was because he put on a coat.
Yes. And was wearing a t-shirt, I think, with stars on it.
He's addressed himself how identifiable his eyebrows are, but he thinks that he's tricked Clara with a coat, with a brown coat.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the same brown coat he wore when he was hanging out with otters?
Probably.
I was very happy that you didn't walk out when you found out it was otters.
I almost did. I really thought the doctor would have preferred beavers.
Nope. This doctor hung out with otters and and the alien robot's called the Scovox Blitzer.
Yeah. Dumb name. Hate it. Yeah. Like the robot design, though. Very cool. Stop motion?
I don't think it was stop motion. I think it was like a puppet, but I think it's probably very clunky to move in real life. And so what they would do is they would film it and speed up the footage, film it at a certain frame rate and then speed up the footage. So it moves a little smoother, moves a little bit more like a real thing. Cause it definitely has like, it definitely doesn't seem to move quite like
it has Rankin Bass quality to it.
So I think it gets that stop motion feel because not because it's got like every other frame movement, but because it's actually like a bunch of frames that get chopped out to make it move faster.
Okay.
That's my theory. I don't know.
I appreciate a practical puppet.
Yeah.
Or a practical asset.
Especially when it has a voice, a fun voice like this. I am the Scovox Blitzer.
This voice wasn't really.
It's not scratching an itch, but it is. It's still.
It wasn't scratching an itch. Also, right now, I have new voices that are scratching itches for me since I've started watching Hazbin Hotel. And there's one character that they call the Radio Demon because he sounds like.
Like an old radio.
Yeah.
Like an old 40s radio.
And the only reason I'm sticking around for it is because I'm like, God, I love the way he sounds. It just. So that right now has been the new favorite for me.
But for anybody curious.
If anybody was keeping track.
Tricor is a heart medication. Ultram is a pain medication. And Plusle's a little Pikachu. And Vigoroth is I believe he's like a sloth.
It doesn't matter. Fuck you.
But Scovox Blitzer.
Doesn't matter. Fuck you.
I'm just glad that I picked subjects that made it all sounded equally stupid to Scovox Blitzer.
I hate you. I got nothing right this one.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
I mean, I'm a little sorry.
No, you're not.
I mean, I'm proud of myself, but I could still be sorry.
No, you're not.
Does it make you any happier when he talks about go singing with the otters? You can picture Peter Capaldi in a choir of otters.
I do like him saying that he was sulking. It's like, I guess if you're upset, like hanging out with a bunch of otters is exactly where you would go. Because I just think about when we went, when we were in Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't dismayed. I thought that the only animal exhibits were those in the Africa, like pavilion. And I was like, I mean, like, I'm happy I got to see meerkats. Like, I love meerkats. But then when I discovered that there were ring-tailed lemurs and then river otters in the goddamn center of the park, entire day shifted. I think we spent a good 30 minutes looking at those damn otters.
I do like that because he's sulking about river, he has to go see otters.
Yeah.
He's thinking about his wife the whole time.
Yeah. But like, wouldn't you do that if I was not if I had the ability to go and spend time with some little animals? You know, I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to go look at some long little river puppies.
I guess it's also worth noting that the only doctor that could have hid with the respective animal would have been 11 because River died before he regenerated.
Yeah.
The only two doctors that met River in person. unless you count audio dramas, I think. But the only two doctors that I met River in person were 10 and 11.
Yeah.
And 11 is most of it. 10 was just right at the very end.
Does that mean that at some point, it was 11 that was hanging out with Otters?
And 11 would have been the one hanging out with Otters.
That's so funny. It changes everything.
Because I got to say, it actually is a plot point that will come up later that River does not know what what 12 looks like. She only knows 1 through 11.
Mm.
It is a plot point later. You'll find out.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, but I do think you'll appreciate when that comes up. I don't think this is a great episode, but I do think it's just good enough to rescue how boring Time Heist was.
It's a nice, we've had decent bookending on this particular disc.
Yeah.
With robots.
Robot of Sherwood.
Robot of Sherwood in this.
Yeah. Because
it's also at the end of the day, what we got is development in the relationship between Danny, Clara, and the Doctor,
mm-hmm.
and a bitchin' robot design.
Bitchin' robot design. And a bunch of, like, good jokes. Like, there's a bunch of really good lines in it that I wrote down.
I mean, I didn't really... There weren't any that were, like, standout highlight to me. There is one little detail that we are glossing over, but I will let
good,
you...
I'm saying. Yeah. Some of my favorites are when Danny keeps trying to reiterate that he's a math teacher, and he just goes, no, I can't retain that. I've tried, and it's just not sticking. There's something about just, like, telling him to his face.
Yeah, because he's an asshole.
I just picture me being like, I can't retain your name. I'm not going to remember that.
I mean, I have done that to people. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You look like this person I already know. So, like, I'm probably just going to call you that name because I can't have, I will forget. Like, I'm so sorry.
I also, another one I like is, he triggers the sonic screwdriver and a little green thing pops up and Clara goes, what's that? He goes, it's a scanner. Why do I keep you around? And then her response, also great, because otherwise you'd have to develop a conscience of your own.
Yeah.
Cut to a little bit more back and forth. And he goes, I had a teacher just like you. And she goes, you still do. Pay attention. And I think the last one that really jumped out at me was when he reveals the, like, invisibility watch and flicks her nose. She goes, oh, you're invisible. Incredible. He goes, correct. I'm invisible and incredible.
You'll like that because that reminds you of you.
So all of these lines remind me of me. These all feel like bullshit I would make D&D NPCs
say. You want to know why? Because you, too, are a cheeky asshole.
Here's the thing. It's hard to tell where the Doctor has influenced me and where I like the Doctor because he reminds me of me. it's a real hazy line in the middle.
It's a gradient. There is no line. You're just blue that fades into Zach.
So what was the point that we were glazing over?
Nethersphere.
Yes. Right at the very end, we find that there's a cop that went and tried to like shoo kids away to go back to school.
Oh, and got roasted.
Got roasted by the Scovox Blitzer. Yeah. Like got disintegrated, I think, except for his hand, I think is the implication.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, you watch just a black, like,
char
hand land on the ground. That's all.
That hand is charcoal.
Yeah, and then he shows up to be interviewed for The Good Place. They couldn't hire Ted Danson for it, I guess. But
God, could you imagine if they had?
He's like, oh, I would have gotten fried if it wasn't for. Wait, how did I escape? And the guy's like, you didn't. Welcome to the afterlife.
Yeah, after it pans out and you see, oh, you're literally in liminal white space.
Yeah, you're in a liminal. You know, it's not even an office. It's like an office decor in a white hallway.
It's like when Jim Carrey finds out that Morgan Freeman is God in a parking lot.
It turns around. There's in the void. He shows him what it looks like outside and he goes, oh, my God. And then Missy walks out.
Doesn't say nothing.
But the guy does imply that she is God.
Now she's busy with something.
Yeah, God's busy with something right now. I still have no thoughts as to who
Missy
is. No,
I don't want to humor you with any of my thoughts, Zach.
I'm just curious. I mean, they're sprinkling a mystery through the season. I'm curious if you got any thoughts about the question.
No, I have no thoughts. Head empty. I'm soft, Zach. There's nothing up here. I've been dealing with a cold.
all
systems offline right now.
All thoughts have been replaced with mucus.
Yes. You're lucky I sound this good.
I think you always sound good, Cassie.
Thanks.
I just like you.
You're not getting any answers out of me if that's what you're trying to get at. Keeping that under wraps, bitch.
All right. I'm just curious.
No.
All right.
Peek behind the curtain. I don't have any thoughts. Don't tell him that. This is an illusion that I have ideas of my own. Hey, when I'm sick, I think I could sound a little bit like Marge Simpson. Homer. Or even
Marge.
Marge. Or even more apropos is Bobby Hill when I'm really, since my voice is scratchy.
You want to give a little bit of a sample to the for the people?
That's my purse. That's my purse. I don't know you. Right?
And it's just a little bit of like you sick with some twang.
Yeah. Well, because there's some
Sick with Some Twang is the name of my country album, by the way.
Fuck. It's got Wabi Sabi.
But yeah, I think this was a good little refresher. I'm curious what you're going to think about next episode, because next episode is very controversial. Next episode is called Kill the Moon.
Oh, Clara had little moons on her little like pins that she was wearing on.
It was foreshadowing.
It was.
Yeah, next episode is very, like I said, it's very controversial. We'll talk about it next time.
Is it like sexy controversial or just it's just controversial? Stupid, got it.
No, it's not stupid, because it's a very serious thing, but it's the thing it ends up being a metaphor for, I don't know.
World War II.
I don't know how, there's a very easy way to read it as a metaphor. We'll get to it in the next time. I don't need to get there, but it's not sexy, but it is interesting in a way that I'm curious to get your opinions on.
Okay, well.
But we will find out all about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed, Bobby?
Bah.
Bah. Bah is my doctor. Hey there, everybody. It's me, your boy. Back at you again with another outro. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. If you did, be sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening now so you can get notified for future episodes. You can also support us over at patreon.com/whoismydoctor to get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. Next week, we're going to go see if there are any whalers on the moon. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.